to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 62 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to take a look at Epcot's World Showcase. Each one of us is going to take a turn and give it our best shots at throwing a country in there that we think will fit pretty well. Part of the rules are that we're going to try to have a ride, we're going to have a restaurant, and of course we're going to have the requisite gift stores. So for tonight's show, we're going to have Sam from the Sam's Disney Diary. We're going to have Jimmy from Once Upon a Time Travel. And Jen from the For the Love of Disney blog. So here we go. So one of the conversations we had during Food and Wine, as we're kind of lounging around, tasting the different foods, drinking the different drinks, was if we had a chance, what country would we add to Epcot? And we kind of let that stir for a little while, and we decided that tonight we're going to talk about that a little bit. We each had our homework. We were going to decide on a country, and we wanted to put a restaurant in there that we'd want to eat at, a ride or attraction that we think would fit pretty well with that country, and like I said, the gift stores, but we're not going to get too detailed on that. There's only so much you can do there. So what do you think, guys?
I'm excited.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it was harder than I thought to kind of narrow it down because there's
so many different directions.
So many great places in the world, yeah, that we could add.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, I totally agree. The one thing I'll also add to it is see if you could figure out where you would put it. It was pretty cool today, and it was just a coincidence that on our Facebook page, somebody posted an article that showed 8 different locations in World Showcase that you can actually put a new country. I was looking at the map, and maybe 6 of them, 5 of them were okay. The other 3 or 4, or 2 of them, I'm sorry, were kind of narrow, and it didn't really look like you could squeeze a lot in there, more than like an African outpost type thing. But it did give me a lot of food for thought as far as the different places these new countries could go.
Well, you know, when you're walking around World Showcase, it's kind of funny, because when you're walking around just hanging out in the countries, you don't realize the amount of space there is in between a lot of those countries. And until you really think about it, you know, so it seems like you really walk from Japan and bam, there's America. But there's a big plot of land in right in between them.
Well, and I think there's actually some land, if I remember correctly, I didn't see the post that you're referring to, but I've seen something before that's kind of behind them and, you know, catty corner to some of them. Yeah, I think there's a ton of space they could expand if they wanted.
Perfect. Now, I guess the only other question we'd have before we start is, would they? Now, they're putting a lot of money into Hollywood Studios. They're going to be putting money into Animal Kingdom. Does this seem like something that might happen in the next 10 years?
Could happen. As fast as Food and Wine Festival and the Flower and Garden Festival and all those things are sprouting up, you see them adding more and more time to these events. So, obviously, it's drawing people and they're making money off of it. So, why not?
Yeah, even I think that we mentioned this a little bit when we were talking about our Food and Wine trip. Maybe it was, I don't know, one of you said that the newer kiosks like Scotland and Puerto Rico are taking on this more permanent look. And we've discussed before how a lot of the festivals are adding food, you know, Flower and Garden is adding food and they're all sort of merging a little bit or the lines are getting blurred. But maybe they even just have almost mini countries or something down the road, like maybe something bigger than the kiosk, but smaller than the really immersive large pavilions that they have now. I don't know. It seems like they would be missing out on a great opportunity if they didn't capitalize on that interest to some extent. I agree with Jimmy there.
How about the African outpost for that, the mini land or the mini country?
You think they'd like rotate it, or suggesting they do some like that?
Yeah. Oh no, I'm just saying they already have.
Yeah.
The African outpost, which is kind of exactly what you're saying, a mini country where it takes up a corner. It's got a restaurant, which actually has some good drinks. It's got some really unique souvenirs, and it's got some fun things to play on, the bongos and the drums and such like that. So in a way, it is a country in that it offers all three of those things, entertainment, food, and souvenirs.
And you could add, you know, that's sort of a region, and one of the booths that was technically new this year, the Patagonia booth, which was kind of a merger of a few different booths from years past at the Food and Wine Festival, you could take those maybe to do regions of the world that maybe, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show about maybe Polynesia as a whole or something like that. You know, you could add, if you didn't want to do a full country, you could kind of touch on different things that go together, like the African outpost.
I could see something from South America. You could see something from the Pacific Rim. Definitely. Okay, well, I tell you what. Money is no object for our conversation, though. So we don't need a sponsor. We don't need a country to come in and build the exhibits for us. We're going to have carte blanche. So who wants to start?
I'll go. I'll start with mine just because, you know, technically we've kind of talked before about the history and what things have been mentioned. And the one that I came up with, Ed, you reminded me, was on the original slate. And you can see advertisements from the past that it was a country that was coming and never came to fruition. I kind of had forgotten that, but I actually chose Israel. And this is one that I am not sure will ever come to fruition. Of course, there's been a lot of unrest, sometimes more than others politically. And but I think that there's so much culture and so much history there and falafel. So that's, you know, a reason for me in and of itself just to have a pavilion. But I think that there's so much there that it had to be considered, because you have this country that has such ties to three major world religions. I mean, you have the bulk of the population throughout the world has, you know, some sort of ties to this country. And it's got such a fascinating blend of extremely old city and old history with new modern technology and modern things, some great landmarks, and again, the great food. I love, love, love food in Israel. So that was my choice. I don't know if any of you, had you heard any details about that? I know that it was, all I remember is seeing it on, you know, like vintage Epcot advertisements. Do you know any of the details surrounding what it would have been?
No, that was really kind of about it. It was more in the planning stages when they were coming up with the countries they could put in there. I think originally they had 15 countries or 16 countries that seems
about right.
And some just kind of fell off when they decided that it wasn't even worth the investment in more planning. I'm not sure how far Israel got. I remember reading an interview with somebody that was doing the original concept art. And actually, here's a good little fact from history. The World Showcase was intended to be undercover, under a roof. And when they got halfway through the development of it, it was decided, and this was, unfortunately, after Walt was dead and the whole idea of making it into a more of a amusement park came about, that instead of putting it underneath something, that they would have it in an open area around the lake. And they just ran with that idea.
I'm glad they did.
Oh, definitely.
Gosh, I can't imagine.
Except for the one time when I was stuck between Canada and nowhere, and it poured like you wouldn't believe.
That's right. Yeah.
But for every other time, yeah, definitely.
That's right.
Like, God, why couldn't they cover it?
Well, though, we were talking about, you know, how, you know, there's going to be some questions if this were ever to be brought up, because there's so much conversation about Israel politically and historically. But even as we were talking about the, you know, the weenie, so to speak, or the icon, you said we need to have an icon for the pavilion. It's a difficult question because all of the landmarks, you have the Dome of the Rock and the Western Wall and all kinds of famous and beautiful churches, but they all have ties to one religion or another. And of course, you know, Disney is not going to be in the position to take a make a choice, I don't think, on a country that's so relatively equally divided in its history. But the one thing I came up with is, and this would, I don't know exactly how this would work, and you guys are going to help me come up with a ride, because the thing I was thinking is there's Masada, which is, it's actually a national park there, but it's a like a citadel or a big fort basically built by Herod, and he was crazy and there was all kinds of suicides, and that's not the story they would go with, right? Yeah, so see, this is, I don't know where the ride is going to go with this, but it's a
I'm not sure where we're putting this attraction. Is this a Disney attraction?
Right?
Can't we just go in the Temple of Doom
so there's no, I don't know how you're going to market this.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, exactly.
It sounds like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
There you go. So we'll bring back Mr. Toad inside Masada.
That's right.
But actually, it's like the side of a cliff, but it's this amazing like fortress that was built on the side of a cliff. And it's fascinating and it's beautiful and it's huge and it's in the middle of nowhere. And so it's a really cool and unique landmark, which I don't know if maybe we can put a link to the picture or something, but it's really kind of a neat idea. And it's something totally different, and it actually looks really cool. In addition to that, Israel is just beautiful. I mean, palm trees and gorgeous lakes. It's a beautiful, beautiful country. And but I still am kind of at a loss with the ride, because you either go religion or you go crazy leaders and wars. And so I don't know.
I have it.
All right.
It's going to be a circle vision.
Uh-huh.
I hate to fall back on that, but I could see that going from the sea through the desert and the mountains and the entire country and then whatever else they can add to it.
In all honesty, that is a perfect choice. Maybe even as good or better than some that are already there, because you then can touch on the transition from old and ancient to new. You can touch on the different landmarks of different religions and the people. When you go there, you see a military presence, but you see modern people working in offices, and you see people of all different religions and all different races and cultures. And it's an amazing thing. And you could definitely cover that in Circle Vision. So I was thinking ride, but I love the idea of a film.
So since the pocketbook is wide open, can we put like pivoting seats in the Circle Vision Theater?
Oh, yeah.
Stand up, but you can lean against the lean rails, but the floor itself moves. Think of like one of those big floors.
Don't sit on the lean rails.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but you will get yelled at. Jimmy is saying is that we want to be able to sit down.
Yeah, that'll be like a chair.
Oh, it takes the fun out of it.
It's going to be an IMAX. It's an IMAX.
Okay, there you go.
IMAX, there you go.
So you don't have to turn around. You just have to look left and right.
Nice. Good thinking.
Yes. Okay, and then the food. I've already mentioned falafel because I love it. It's got to be like a food truck, though, like a falafel from a stand on the side of a road. Like that's going to be the counter service because that's the best. And you can have, you know, all kinds of other good street food like that as well. But for a sit down experience, I'm a little hesitant because some of the finest places that I got to go to Israel when I was in high school and things that we were told were fine dining, and I'm sure this is true. And for listeners around the world, hopefully this isn't offensive, but I'm picky and I'm kind of set in my ways. And we went to this buffet and there were like not only fish with scales, but shrimp with eyes and all this stuff that did not look westernized to me. And that didn't go over very well. So for me, I think we're going to have to go. And Jimmy, we've talked about this before. There's a little bit of a gray area because things like the Tangerine Cafe in the Morocco Pavilion have already sort of become fuzzy and gone less Moroccan food and more Middle Eastern food. But if you serve things like shawarma platters and hummus and couscous and baba ganoush, things that are already available in Epcot, that would actually be a really good, authentic Israeli dining experience.
I agree.
And I would love for it to somehow overlook, like I'm thinking of the, I don't know if any of you have seen the Skyline Bar on the newer Disney ships.
Yes.
But you're sitting in this bar and they have, basically they're just, you know, kind of projection screens, or not projections, but screens. and you are basically, it looks like you're looking out onto the skylines of different cities. I would love that technology, but to be looking over like the Dead Sea or something, the Sea of Galilee, something beautiful as the sun sets or whatever the time of day is that you're there, to be like you're actually there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, that's one of my favorite bars on the Dream. All the screens are basically windows, and they'll change to the different city of the world, and then all the drink specials change to match. It's pretty cool.
Okay, and this is completely off topic, but I know you guys will love this, and we'll shout out to the Star Wars weekend dates being released today. Ed, did you know, and I found this out on our Art of the Theme Show tour, and it's 100% true, there are a bunch of Star Wars characters walking around in the streets on all of those scenes.
Yes, there are, and I've seen them.
It's so funny. I never knew that before. And we sat there and watched them all. Also, Mickey Mouse waves to you from his flat in London, which is pretty awesome.
He has one also in Brazil at the top of one of the big buildings. It was pretty wild. The bartender one night was telling us about
them. But the Star Wars things just absolutely cracked me up. So from Israel to Star Wars, I think that's it. Did I cover everything?
Yeah, no, that sounded really good.
All right. Now that I'm off the hook, I can't wait to hear yours.
Well, do we have any questions?
Interestingly enough. Yeah, so before you leave that, interestingly enough, Israel was one of the 8 countries that was part of the Millennium Village back in 2000. So there was a precedent for some Israeli representation within Epcot, which is interesting.
More recently, too. That's very interesting.
Do you remember what they had there or what was on exhibit? I mean, did you see it?
I vaguely remember seeing it live, but I couldn't tell you exactly what it was, and I'm at a loss to find pictures of it other than a short description. But there were 8 countries sort of jammed in there, and there wasn't – I can't find enough detail.
Sure.
It does look, though – I just actually happened to look that up because I had no idea. I obviously did research in the sense that I thought a lot about what I would want and not so much anything else. But it does look like they had some interesting features, real stones from the streets of Jerusalem, a virtual trip through 3,000 years of history, which is kind of what we were talking about would be a good fit. And then it said you could send a message to the Western Wall via computer, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow. That would be pretty cool. I'm surprised they don't have that like all the time. Send your prayers,
right,
or whatever.
Like everywhere. Yeah. So it's neat to know that they were still kind of, it was still on their radar even as recently as 2000. That's kind of cool.
I'm sorry, just to touch on that whole computer sent prayers to the Wailing Wall. Would they just put a flash drive with a couple thousand on it, or would they actually have to print them out? Does it matter?
Oh, I don't know. Nowadays, they could probably just show up somehow.
Yeah. Okay, well, awesome. Israel, I can't wait. Although, unfortunately, I kind of agree, Jen. I don't think that is in the long-term future for Epcot.
It's probably not their easiest first choice. Ooh, where would I put it?
Where?
I have no idea. Let's see. You wouldn't want it too close to Morocco because the food then would look like it was a knockoff when really, I think probably it would be more authentic. I don't know. I want to know where these other spaces are, like the phase 2 that never happened. I think I want it to open up a whole new section.
Well, it's funny because when you look at the overhead map of the park, there are a lot of areas that are just literally rectangles of land that go from the walkway we were on all the way to the back street. And between Japan and America, was it? There's a big green area. Yep. We know behind Germany, where the railroad tracks are behind there, it's all kind of pretty much area behind off-kilter stage. We looked at that, where the studio big area is back there.
Yeah, there's a lot of spots where you can have a small path that sort of leads you back to a large expansion pad, too. Right. So you'd have something to wean you in, and then lots of room.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
And depending on what kind of countries they added, if we added several at a time or something like a large expansion, that might make more sense because some of the countries that we've talked about or that we'll talk about adding, including Israel, don't necessarily – I mean, the reason that we talked about adding them is because they're different. So they don't maybe flow right next to other countries that already exist in the World Showcase.
Right. Okay. So let's move on to our next country. And Jimmy, I think you're going to be up.
All right. So for me, it was tough to decide, but I'm going to go with Egypt. And the reason, one of the biggest reasons I picked Egypt is, you know, my first thought is, okay, iconic, something iconic that's going to make you, that's going to draw you in. And what's more iconic than the pyramids or the Sphinx? So
that'd be so cool.
It would be so cool,
especially like gold in the Florida sun. Like that'd be cool.
Oh yeah. So, I know where I'd put it. I would put it back in the corner, kind of behind the outpost. But since it's in Africa, I would leave the outpost there. You would kind of walk through the outpost to get to Egypt. One of the funny things we're going to run into is that the food that I'm going to have in Egypt is going to be pretty much the same food that Jennifer has in Israel. So it's going to be falafel. It's going to be kebabs. It's going to be flatbreads. It's going to be gyros and shawarma. And so the food's going to be very, very similar.
Maybe we put all that food there and make Israel completely kosher.
There you
Although
go.
That'd still be another religious statement, probably.
True. True. So, and a ride. So I'll put some thought into this. So basically, I would want a mummy ride using the technology from Dinosaur.
Like the vehicle technology?
That ride vehicle.
Yeah.
Basically, but running through the tombs and having a mummy chase you or coming out at you or something a little spooky. I was thinking maybe Indiana Jones, but maybe the mummy fits it a little better. Probably be easier to do Indiana Jones since Disney owns Lucas, though.
Well, sure.
Well,
but we're going to
copy a Disneyland attraction. But I love the Egypt. The mummy's chasing Jimmy. That's awesome. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of a thrill ride in Epcot.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. And they could do probably some really cool stuff. Like, as neat as Dinosaur is, the ride vehicle is what carries that. You could add that ride vehicle with so much technology that's come out since that ride was created and even updated.
Well, that's kind of how I thought of it because when I was thinking, you know, something maybe mummy or Indiana Jones. I mean, Indiana Jones has mummies in it. So, I mean, you could theme it to Indiana Jones and have mummies. But I've never been to Disneyland. But from what I understand, the Indiana Jones ride in Disneyland has the same ride vehicle as Dinosaur. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand, it's a much better ride than Dinosaur.
Right.
Yeah, but you even just think of, like, the mine train, the dark ride portion of the mine train and how, you know, the animatronic technology and just how far everything has come, how you could add that into a kind of creepier thrill ride. Yeah, it would be really cool.
I have an idea for a ride for yours, but I don't know if it's going to infringe on the rights of my ride, though. Let's go the other way. Instead of the dinosaur vehicle, let's go with the Star Tours vehicle. And instead of only the front screen lighting up, let's have all three walls, the sides and the front, be active screens so that you are going through the pyramid and everything is basically animated on the screens and in front of you in all that great 3D we see in Star Wars.
Nice.
And then everybody's self-contained in there. The ride doesn't have to go anywhere, so its footprint is not that big. And, you know, you get the full experience of being in a pyramid and everything's pretty dark anyway. So
why aren't all three of those walls active? That's really brilliant and doesn't seem like it'd be that big of a step.
I don't know, you know, Jennifer, I don't know if you've noticed before, but usually when Ed says something, like the next time you go, probably all three of the walls and Star Tours,
like, I know it's the doors and everything, but I don't know, I feel like they could have done, I don't know, I think it's coming.
I don't think that would be true Star Wars, because any spaceship in Star Wars,
that's true,
the window is only in the cockpit.
That's true.
They don't have any portholes usually, or, you know, in those type of ships. So I think it would go too far. I mean, granted, it would be so awesome to be able to see things going past you left and right and all that stuff, but I think it gets away from Star Trek.
No, you're exactly right. But in a mummy ride, you could be
perfect.
You could find yourself walking, I mean, just like unprotected, not in a vehicle of any sort.
Mm-hmm.
in a pyramid trying to escape. So that would be cool.
And every ride would be different because this ride, the mummy's jumping out from the alley on the right side. The next ride is going to be jumping out from the alley on the left side because it's only a video.
And in reality, I'm going to say that I would hate this ride because I am already I'm scared of it and it doesn't exist. This is not my kind of ride, but it sounds super
I can't
cool.
wait. This is a good one.
It sounds so cool.
Okay, so now we have a great ride. Our food is set. Was there any specific souvenir that's going to stick out? And we'll have to ask Jen this because we forgot. What am I leaving Egypt with? Like Germany, it could be the caramel or the pickle. And Japan, it's one of those crazy food items or something like that. Well, what am I leaving Egypt with?
Big gold chain.
Ooh, I know.
Tutankhamun mask.
Oh, but it's got to yell Egypt. Okay, Tutankhamun mask. There you go. Something
yes,
like
I was going to say the sarcophagus with the mummy in it. I don't know, like a marble crypt with a little mummy in it.
Some ace bandages.
do it yourself, mummy.
Right.
I'm trying to think of Israel souvenirs. I'll tell you what it would be. It would be something from a cedar wood carving of some sort. Even though it's actually Lebanon, but there's a bunch there as well. Like some sort of wood carving.
Right. Do any of the stores at Epcot offer religious items? Off the top of
your
head?
No, I don't know. I
don't think so.
Like crosses or rosaries and stuff.
Well, I was thinking about that because Mexico is a very, very Catholic oriented country, even like the Day of the Dead celebrations and things like that. But I think that Epcot would go so far as to have maybe those kinds of celebration memorabilia, so to speak, but not like a rosary.
All right.
I haven't seen something that specific.
I'd be surprised if you didn't find a Buddha in Japan.
That's true.
True. True.
Yeah.
Just in that room with all the incense and the...
Right, right.
Or in China. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if you found something like that there, but... I don't think.
No, it was just a thought.
Else, I don't think so.
It was just a thought. I don't want to hurt our brains over that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have some great countries out of Africa, Egypt, and Israel out of the Middle East. Sam, what are you going to offer us?
So I'm going to look back in that plot that is currently the African outpost. And instead of looking across World Showcase Lagoon and not seeing much of anything other than some rocks, I'm going to put the Sydney Opera House as your weenie back into Australia.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which was, by the way, in some early models of Epcot, there was the Opera House in some of those. Australia has been in the Food and Wine Festival since 1997, so there's obviously some precedent for that food with shrimp and grilled lamb chops, Copper's Pell Ale, those types of things being in World Showcase. We'll also make that some kind of a theater with some type of a show without chainsaws that happens throughout the day. I don't know what that would be, but we'll figure something out. As you get drawn back into the pavilion itself, we're going to have the Queen Victoria Marketplace, which is a pretty large indoor marketplace that's somewhat famous in Australia for some of the things that it has. Lots of places to grab maybe a Vegemite sandwich, which I know Jimmy would love to have. A meat pie or maybe some Australian coleslaw with Aussie cream fish along with it, which I think would be pretty cool. But as you make your way through this Victorian marketplace, you're going to stumble upon Wallaby Way. And around the back corner, you're going to find P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way, a nice little... character meet and greet where you're going to walk into the dentist office from Finding Nemo. So I want a reason to get the kids to come back in here and get engaged. It would be easy to say this is a great spot for a Finding Nemo ride, but we already have one of those in Epcot. But I think this is cool to say, hey, look, we're in Australia. We found we now found the dentist office where that's where you can get some interesting souvenirs too, right? Great photo opportunity with the stork poking his head in the window with with Phil's his first name, right? Philip Sherman? P. Sherman 42.
I don't know what his first name is. Do we know?
I don't think anybody knows what his first name is.
I don't know if Sherman. If the receptionist might have said it or something like that. But yeah.
But so that's sort of in the back corner, right? Which I think. But then there also needs to be – Australia's so big and there's so much there, whether it's something around the Kakadu National Park and all of its square footage, or it's the Great Barrier Reef, or it's so much stuff, kangaroos and wallabies and you name it, Jim Jim Falls. That's got to be some type of an attraction. Now – every time I start thinking about it, I end up with the Circle Vision type thing, like we talked about earlier, or I end up with something that looks like Soarin', but I don't want any of those things. I want some type of a boat ride almost that we can do back here that takes you through all of these diverse areas in Australia. I don't know exactly what it is, though.
Can I offer an idea?
But I figure if – you have an idea? Yes.
Yes. Let me offer one. Imagine the aqueduct off of, you know, one of the new cruise ships. That's the enclosed water coaster.
Right.
But put that into a ride on the ground, horizontal. Have it so it goes underwater so that you're going to be going through the reef. You're going to come up along the coast of Australia. You're going to go through whatever you're going to see. And then maybe you will see Nemo or Dory or somebody like that. But I think the idea of having a faster ride, maybe a coaster-type ride, would be pretty cool. And you put the coaster so it has two wings on it, so you're basically spinning around. So we can even go, like, you know, do a barrel roll or something like that inside the tube.
Yeah, something around the Alligator River, something around Jim Jim Falls. I think there's lots of potential there.
Sure.
They don't have alligators in Australia.
There's an Alligator River, and I'm sure you can find some kangaroos.
Probably find some crocodiles.
I have one more, though, for Australia. The only thing I could think of that was an additional, I don't know, I think about this because I think it sounds really cool to visit Australia and do this, but I also think it would add to Epcot. If you could make like a bridge climb, it certainly wouldn't be as high as the Sydney Harbour Bridge, or maybe it would be, but that would probably mess up the landscape of Epcot. But, you know, near the Opera House, there's the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which is picturesque, and
sure,
people can climb to the top of it and get this amazing view of the harbor. Well, if you could climb in the area I think you're talking about, climb to the top of something that is kind of a replica, and you could use forced perspective or whatever to make it look as high, but still have it be kind of a higher observation point. I don't feel like we get that bird's eye view of the parks ever, and that might be for good reason as far as seeing backstage areas or things like that. But if they could do that with proper sight lines and things like that, I think it would be so cool to look across World Showcase Lagoon and see World Showcase from the top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Did you just add the Swiss Family Treehouse to my country?
No. Way cooler than that.
No, it's an Australian family. All right.
Yes, the Australian family treehouse.
You know what, Jen? I have my list of things here, and the only thing I didn't mention is the Sydney Harbour Bridge on the list, and you're absolutely right. I think that's a great spot for it. There's great potential there. What's the takeaway souvenir? I think it's the one thing we didn't talk about. I wanted the kids to get something from the dentist office.
Kangaroo
paw. How about a little bag with somebody in it? I'm sorry, Jenny?
A kangaroo paw.
Kangaroo paw.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Definitely.
Like a, you know, I'm you just know how these like rabbit foot keychains?
Yeah. A kangaroo like paw.
My kids are still little enough that the stuffed kangaroo, as cliche as it is, would be a top choice.
Sure, and you still have...
I have a
what about stuffed koala bears?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
koala bears are cute as hell.
And you do have Finding Nemo to go all around.
So. Right.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely, sure, definitely theme it Finding Nemo.
The fish in a bag is cracking me up.
Fish in a bag.
I was thinking
upside down.
Well, I know, but I'm thinking, yeah, the upside down, like, that's the worst souvenir ever.
Right. But it would be so cool.
It's so funny.
It's stereotypical of the movie. It's awesome because everybody knows what it is, and you know he's not really dead. So that's the joke.
I love it.
So Jennifer, you can tell that to your kids, Jennifer. No, the fish really isn't dead. Didn't you see Finding Nemo?
Right.
He's pretending. Oh,
okay, better yet.
And then we just keep dead fish around our house forever.
Exactly.
They have the technology, put it on a timer so it just keeps flipping. It's upside down for 30 seconds and it flips right side up.
that's so funny.
And the eyes fall open or close.
This sounds like the kitschiest, most awful, like, amazing gift ever.
Well, I tell you what, another good country and a lot of good ideas. The last country we're going to talk about is mine. And the country I have is going to be India. Now, I gave it a lot of thought, and I figured between the food and what you could do with rides and things like that, and I came back to India. So, let's see how this one's going to go. The place I have for it is in the same corner as the other two countries we just talked about, that corner back there by the African outpost. And basically, for the weenie, it can't be anything else but the Taj Mahal. Of course, it's not going to be as big as the real one, but with all that forced perspective going on at Epcot, I don't think it has to be. What's cool is that you're going to be able to see it as soon as you walk into the World Showcase and you look over to that side of the lake. Okay, and as far as a ride goes, I was thinking of something called The Adventures of India. Now, when I first started thinking about it, I was thinking something along the lines of Dinosaur in a Vehicle, like you guys were talking about earlier. But then I kind of switched thoughts, and I was thinking something more along the lines of, have you guys ever been to Disney Quest over at Downtown Disney? Well, they have the Jungle Cruise part of it, where you get in the raft, and you're basically paddling around the raft.
Yes.
And what happens is, for those that haven't been on it, you get into this raft, and they basically pump air underneath of it. So you're basically floating on air, and you're kind of moving around. And I'm like, well, that was a good idea too, but it's still a little unstable. Okay, here's the final idea. I want to be on top of an elephant going on a tour of India. So we're going to kind of combine those different ideas so that we're sitting on the cage on top of an elephant. We're using that great technology from Jurassic Park and all the different movies where they show animals, and that we're actually sitting on an elephant. We could feel its warmth. We could feel the skin, and it's very realistic. Now, we start out the safari, and we're going to go a little bit more along the lines of using 3D animation and video and things like that. And we're basically going to take a walk and tour India. It's not a tiger hunt because we don't hunt tigers anymore. We're on a photographic hunt. And we'll talk a little bit about that and the conservation goals of India and things, whatever they have to offer.
Hey, do you know what the difference between an Indian elephant and an African elephant is?
Size of their ears?
Indian elephants are in India.
I was going to go all sorts of facts on you, but then I had to... Yeah, that's funny.
Okay.
I'm glad I didn't.
Didn't bite.
Yeah.
Now, as far as a restaurant goes, for my sit-down restaurant, and I kind of looked up a couple different words, and Bukhara Mahal would be the name of the 5-star Indian restaurant. And,
5-star Indian restaurant.
Oh, of course. Why would I put
Woo!
A
first? Wow.
And what's really great about this is that they rotate in famous chefs from all around the world who specialize in Indian cuisine. So it's a really phenomenal place. And what's even better about it is that the counter service, Louis Grill, which is kind of around the side from it, also offers really, really good food that's Indian-based. However, it's more along the hand-type food. One of the things I heard story coming out of coming out of Fantasmic was they had these really cool cone foods. So they had macaroni and cheese in a cone, they had different things in cones. Well, not that, but food that's very innovative, offering up the Indian cuisine in ways that you can basically carry it around World Showcase.
More like street food.
Yeah, exactly. But with a little bit more style to it.
Gotcha.
And we call it Louis Grill, based on Louis from The Jungle Book. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Baloo and maybe even Mowgli walking around for meet and greets.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. And again, the weenie being the Taj Mahal, I don't know how you can miss with that. You're going to see it all over the park.
Nice.
So that's what I had for India. Oh, as far as a souvenir goes, I guess a Taj Mahal would be pretty cool to get. I'm not sure really what else you would have that would stand out.
Hmm.
Definitely clothes, as far as the different types of Indian, the different...
Elephant tusks.
Ivory yen. No.
Why not?
What kind of elephants would those come from, Jimmy?
Those would be Indian elephants.
African elephants, because they're trying to conserve the Indian elephant. Right. However, okay, let me throw this at you, though. And actually, it probably won't work out, but if you had to do something with ivory, why don't you make one of those really cool carved 3D printers that carve out ivory looking souvenirs based on what you pick out.
Nice. I'm down with that.
So, it was something different like that. But definitely something that would go in that little corner in Africa, and we'll see. I don't see this happening. And in the beginning of the show, we talked about whether we think Epcot is going to do this in the next 10 years, add a country or not. I think based on the last 20 years, 25 years, because they haven't really, that I don't think they're going to be doing that in the future. In the next 10 years anyway. But we'll see. I hope I'm wrong in that regard.
So I Googled Indian souvenirs, and it's all elephants and Taj Mahals. Little carved and painted elephants.
Okay, well, here's the tip
you
of the deck.
You could sell sitars, but you'd have to have a sitar player, like live music.
No problem. That would be my beautiful live music five times a day. But one of the things about souvenirs...
Sitars... Now, sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to get
sitars and chainsaws.
That sounds dangerous. One of the things about souvenir elephants is you got to be careful. Never buy an elephant that has its trunk pointing down. Always make sure it's curving back up again. We went through a whole string of bad luck when I was a kid. My parents convinced themselves it was because of the elephants that we had. My father had traveled a lot, and he brought back a couple of elephants from the Orient, had their trunks pointing down. So we ended up packing them in the attic upside down, and everything got better again.
Huh.
So, but we had read that. People had told us that. We didn't just come up with that on our own.
Good to know.
That's pretty interesting.
Now that you think, but you're right. That's how you usually see it. Like the trunk that like curves down and back up again.
Mm-hmm. Not these gifts they're selling Americans.
Right.
All their trunks are down. I'm looking at pictures of them now.
Yep. You gotta be
careful. They're tourists. What do they know? So, Ed, that's four great countries. Were there any other thoughts on other countries that we didn't research?
One of the ones I was thinking, and talked a little bit about, was Greece. Ed didn't like my idea.
No, I thought that was a great idea.
Greece could be a great one.
That would be a great idea, but once I got out of the restaurant, how is it going to be that much more different than looking at the ruins in Egypt or other ruins around the world? Give me something more in Greece that stands out.
It'd be a good option, though.
Greek mythology. You could have the Parthenon.
The Pantheon is also in Rome.
What would the lady be? Would that be something enough that would be
the Parthenon, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you can have all this Greek mythology stuff going on there. I love Greek mythology.
Oh, sure. Once you get past that, yeah, you have unlimited amount of things between food and rides and stuff. Definitely.
And what about
the food? The Greece booth at the Food and Wine Festival is the one that I go back to every year. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Could do
and you could have like the whole... Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Is that Greek? Yeah.
I don't know. One of them.
I know. I can't keep track.
One of them.
So
Hercules,
bad about mythology.
And one of them is Heracles.
Yes.
And one's Greek and one's Roman, but it's the same. It's the same character.
Hercules is Greek.
Hercules is Greek. Heracles is Roman.
But then you think of like my big fat Greek wedding and like the festive restaurant environment you could have with like the dancing and I mean, it would be so cool. I like Greece.
It's a good one.
Yeah, definitely. One other country I was thinking that could work out there very well is Brazil. Give us something from South America.
Yes.
Yeah, something from South America. Yeah, I agree.
Now, as far
as
the
weenie... on my radar as well.
Sure. As far as the weenie goes, I don't know if you can get away with the Christ statue. However, you would have to come up with a second choice. But food-wise, decoration-wise, souvenir-wise, I think it'd be pretty incredible.
Oh, yeah. I would say, what if you couldn't do that? Instead, you do like Angel Falls replica and do Venezuela or something like that.
Sure.
You still get South America in there. Or you could do like one of the many countries we talked about. Do South America, do Carnival and different decorations and festivities. But there's so many cool landmarks and just, I don't know, just different places you could visit in that area.
Sure. Oh, definitely.
But I don't know. I don't know that a replica Angel Falls really does anything.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be tough. That'd be tough to do in the park, other than being a tower.
Now that I think about it, it's like a little piddly waterfall.
And we can't really go with any ruins that you would have in the different parts of South America because of Mexico looking so similar to it. So it would definitely have to be something that stood out.
I couldn't think of another country, but I'd love to have a place around World Showcase that I can go into to get out of the heat. So I'd love to do something around Antarctica. But then that might be Arendelle that we're getting over in Norway. So I'm not sure. Maybe I don't want that.
I was going to say Alaska also, but Canada is so close. Maybe Canada needs a new attraction.
Antarctica might be kind of cool. I mean, no pun intended, but seriously. I'm pretty sure it's cool, Jen. Yes. As soon as I said
it snows.
But you have, like, I don't know, either Antarctica or the Arctic, or you just go with combine both of them and
what about the country of
make naturalists like crazy everywhere and have polar bears and penguins together at the same time. But you have, you know, a place that's physically cool to go into, but you have, I don't know, some neat, like, ice. You could make it like one of those ice hotels that they have. The whole inside of the building is ice.
Yeah, but those ice hotels are normally in Europe, aren't they? It's usually kind of tough down in Antarctica. They have those
what
big
about
trailers.
Yeah, but the more we talk about this stuff, the more she's coming.
How about Patagonia?
What about the southern country?
How about the southern tip of South America, the Patagonia region? What's that, Argentina?
Yeah.
Because then you kind of can fit the ice in there, and you can get some really nice country in there, and you get a lot of, I don't know anything past that, though.
What did you say, Jimmy, as well? I like the Patagonia idea.
I was thinking the country of Arendelle. It's really cold there.
You know what country I think they need? Jimmy?
Go ahead.
Your country, the country of cheese.
Country of cheese. I am the.
It's gone. They took it away. No more cheese.
They need to bring it back. A whole country of cheese. Can you imagine?
Okay, well, we had some really good countries, and we want to hear what you think. Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and let us know. Or visit us on our Facebook pages, The Disney Nerds Podcast, or the Disney Nerds Group page. So, for the Disney Nerds crew, for Sam, Jen, Jimmy, this is Ed, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guaharini.
Congolish.
Yeah.
Bad Skype.